Are you crazy?
Yeah, I'm crazy, Kovac said sarcastically. I'm not the one meeting in a public bar to pay off the guy I hired to whack my wife.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You make me sick. Kovac all but turned and spat on the floor. What'd you think, David? That everyone would just assume your wife was mugged? Or that some nut job did her because of Carl Dahl?
I didn't do anything to Carrie.
And you figured you were playing it smart to be seen in public at the time of her attack? That you were extra clever using your motive as your alibi?
What motive?
Your little plaything you got this apartment for. A junky whore too stupid to think you're exactly what you appear to be. A loser with a big mouth and delusions of grandeur. You're pathetic. The look on Moore's face was priceless. Kovac smiled like a tiger. He had opened both barrels of bullshit and actually hit some nerves. A little knowledge and a lot of attitude went a long way toward rattling people with something to hide. All the years of wading hip-deep in the excrement of criminal minds had taught him more about human nature than any PhD in psychology could have. David Moore was the kind of guy who needed to feel important, needed people to think he was smart, that he had to lower himself to the standard of prostitutes to accomplish that wouldn't matter. You're thinking, how do you know all that, Kovac, you dumb son of a bitch? Kovac said, still smiling. I know all kinds of things about you, sport. I know about your taste for hookers, the flowers, the gifts, the expensive dinners, paying for it all out of the family funds. I know about your biweekly habit at the Marquette, Mr. Greer. You go there to pretend you're a big shot, don't you, Mr. Hollywood, the film executive? By the way, that's lower than low, using your wife's maiden name. Freud would have a field day with you and your issues with women, huh? What's that all about, David? Your mother screwed up your potty training? Moore was silent, seeming to be holding himself very still, as if one wrong move and his whole alternate universe would implode on him. What I can't figure is where Edmund Ivers fits into this sordid little puzzle. What's a guy like him have to gain acting as your beard, helping you out with your alibi?
I don't need an alibi, Moore said. I haven't done anything wrong.
Kovac just looked at him, stunned to silence for a moment.
You haven't done anything wrong.
Jesus Christ, you cheat on your wife with whores, spend her money to finance your secret life. What part of that isn't wrong? The elevator gave a little jerk and groan and began to descend. Kovac hit the key for the second floor and pulled Moore out into the hall with him when the doors opened. The door to the stairs was just to the right. He gave Moore a shove in the back.
Step into my office here for a minute, Ace.
Fuck you, Kovac, Moore said, turning around.
Are you resisting? Kovac asked, incredulous. Are you resisting me? Because if you're resisting, all bets are off, pal.
Are you arresting me?
You want to have this conversation downtown? Because I'll be happy to take you there and put you in the box for formal questioning. Is that what you want?
Kovac asked.
You want to up the ante? You want to call my bluff? Go ahead. Then you can call a lawyer, and I can call Chris Logan, and he'll have you arraigned and toss your ass in the can. And if you think a judge is going to give you bail for trying to kill one of their own, you're even dumber than you look. Is that what you want?
I didn't try to kill my wife. The door to apartment 214 opened, and a woman stuck her head out, glaring at them.
Take your fight somewhere else or I'll call the cops.
Kovac pulled his badge out of his coat pocket and showed it to her.
This is already police business, ma'am. Go back into your apartment and lock the door.
The woman disappeared.